I want to talk to you just a few minutes about perfect peace. The Lord put this on my heart, and I really couldn't get away from it. It's Mastering Your Mind series. We started last week. Stinking thinking was what we talked about last week. How many know we're living in a day when the world feels like it's exploding? It's kind of convulsing. The Bible says that the earth is kind of all of creation is waiting on the Lord's return, kind of convulsing. It's like the end is near. How many sense the end is near? Well, it is, whether you sense that or not. And we are talking about our mind and what's on your mind and how to master your mind, because Satan plays tricks, and his battleground, his domain for temptation, for turmoil, all of that trial is in the brain, in the mind. And we're commanded by the Lord to love the Lord with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And so I think that we as a believer are made up of body, mind, and spirit. How many know he deserves all of you? And sometimes, you know, people think, oh, I'll just serve him in my mind. Well, you know what? You serve him in your body, and you serve him in your mind, and you serve him in your spirit, right? Complete, whole. And that leads us to peace. And so Scripture says that all of creation, not just you and me as humans, but the flowers and the bees and the church and everyone, the hills and the trees, everything is waiting on a culmination of the Lord to return. And all this is temporary. How many know the great day of the Lord is coming? And so in the turbulent times that we're living in, people are perplexed. They're stressed to the max. And listen, even Christians are filled with fear and anxiety and worry and the point of breaking down and depression, anxiety, anxiousness. And it seems as though many are becoming addicted to the anxious mindset. And I told you last week that even since COVID, the alarm, the panic, the anxiousness has gone to another level. Have you ever talked to somebody and said, hey, how you doing? Hey, what's on your mind? What's on your mind? It matters what's on your mind. I said it matters what's on your mind, because your mind gets on things that your spirit allows it to. You have control. How many know you have the ability to master your mind? It's your mind. When you got saved, you didn't lose your mind. Some of you think you did. Some of you think you lost everything. Well, I used to have fun, but now I got saved. Life is nothing but a big bore. All I do is eat and go to church. At least in the Assemblies of God, that's the way it seems. But God wants us to know that people are having some serious issues with anxiousness and their mindset. A professor at a leading university in America studied the things that people worry about and discovered that 40% of their worries never, ever happen. 40%. You know what worry is? Worry is the interest you paid for what never happened yet. Why would you pay interest on something that never happened yet, right? And then 30% of their worry concerns things of the past. It already happened, but they're still worried about it. Can I tell you something? Whether you respond today or not, I don't know if you're sleeping or it's cold outside or you're freezing or what's going on, but you can't let your past dictate your future. And if you're going to be a new creature in Christ, how many know you got to get rid of the old thinking? You got to become a new creation. You got to think on new things. Like I said last week, think on these things, these characteristics of Christ. Otherwise, they will bring you down. Your mind can get a hold of your spirit and make you absolutely spiritual bankruptcy. Sometimes spiritual suicide. Never allow your mind. How many know your spirit has to conquer your mind, not the other way around? And you have the power. The Word of God says that we can take captive every thought. You can master your thought life. Does anybody believe that? So 40% of never happened, 30% already happened. 10% of worry is worry over petty issues. Anybody have a worry over petty issues? No? Well, this is a good message, Father, that you gave to me today. Oak Grove doesn't need it. I'll leave it online. Maybe somebody will enjoy it. And then 8% seems to be maybe a legitimate concern. Only 8% has some legitimacy. Like, you know, we're concerned for the people in Israel. We're concerned. We're not panicked. We're not worried. How many know they're God's people? And God's going to take care of Israel. Does anybody believe that? It matters what you believe. It really matters what's on your mind. And if you think, Chicken Little, that the sky is falling tomorrow, you're going to have a horrible day. But I'm here to encourage you that God wants to help us, that 92% of our anxious thoughts are a waste of our energy. And it can zap the life out of you, suck the joy right out of you, and destroy your inward peace. Isaiah gives us a beautiful portion of Scripture today, Isaiah 26, 3 and 4. You, talking about God, Isaiah is the prophet of God over Israel in a very, very dark season of time. And he says, Father God, you will keep him in perfect peace. All right? So when the Bible says him, it's not, it's over him and her. It's all humanity. You will keep him in perfect peace. Remember when he said, let us make man in our own image, in our image? When he said man, he was talking about man and woman, right? It's all inclusive. So that's this, that Lord, you will keep in perfect peace and constant peace the one whose mind is steadfast, that is committed and focused on you in both inclination and character. Your mind can be inclined to have a thought process, a mindset on things. And if it gets set, how many ever met anybody who's hard-headed? Oh, you're pointing. Because this is it. He will keep you in perfect peace because he trusts and takes refuge in God with hope and confident expectation. Trust confidently in the Lord forever, for he is your fortress, your shield, your banner, your rock. For the Lord God is an everlasting rock, the rock of ages. How many glad we serve the rock of ages? Oh, you're going to make me break out with Rock of Ages. Rock of Ages, cleft for me. No? Boy, there's nothing moving the crowd today. It's a bad day. So I came to encourage you, right? If you want inward peace, I want to help you turn your worry into worship. You got to maintain. You've got to take authority. You've got to master your mind, because that's where Satan is playing the game. Mind games. You ever heard of that? And he knows the vulnerability of God's people, how easy it is to worship. But you can worship instead of worrying, and you can master your mind that way. So why are we so stressed out, Pastor? Well, Satan is stealing our peace. You know, there is a law in many cities, ordinance, that you cannot disturb the peace at a certain amount of time in the evening. You cannot be blaring music real loud. They'll call the law on you. Well, how many know it's time to serve notice on the enemy? It's time to call on God and say, devil, you can't disturb my peace anymore. I'm not going to sit here while you just blast my mind with all kind of trash and filth and unhealthy thoughts. I'm going to take authority. I'm going to master that. I'm going to call the Lord, and he will take care of it. How many know the Lord is still the ruler? And he still has authority over Satan. So that things that bring us down, the negative thinking, stinking thinking we said last week, some of us have allowed our minds to focus on things that bring us down negatively, worry. And we said wrong thinking last week leads to wrong feelings, and wrong feelings can lead to wrong actions. And so if you're thinking wrong, you're living wrong. Are you seeing that? And sometimes it doesn't so happen so progressively, like one step, two steps. Sometimes it's a thought here or a series of thoughts, and then those thoughts become a feeling, and then those feelings become an emotion or whatever, or emotion, and the emotion becomes a habit, and then the habit turns into an action. It's a progressive thing. The same way on the negative is it is on the positive. How many know if you focus on Jesus and worship and the Word of God, how many know it'll turn your mind around? It's like renewing your mind, right? Romans 12, 1 and 2. Paul said, hey, I beseech you, I beg you, brothers and sisters, that you present your body, soul, strength, your mind, all of you, unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's the least you can do. I mean, look what he did for us. How many know we ought to turn it all over to him, even our mind? And do not be conformed to this world or patterned after or think like this world, but be transformed into the mind of Christ by the renewing of your mind so that you can know what that good and perfect will of God is. And that's what he's trying to do, but Satan's got a blockade sometimes, distractions and trying to lead us. So if you think right, you live right. And as a man thinks, the Bible says, so he can become. So when we stress out, we're neither joyful nor peaceful. We're stressed. I've never met a stressed person that just says, oh, it's so peaceful in here while I'm stressing. And we allow our thoughts to control our behavior. And this is real. Job said this, for the thing that I greatly feared has suddenly come upon me. And what I dreaded has happened to me. And then he goes on to say, and I am not at ease, nor am I quiet. I have no rest, for trouble comes my way. That's what Job said. And here's a righteous man, but was not exempt from the trials and the buffeting of Satan and the things of the world that came against him and the losses. I'm amazed when God's people have a loss, they feel and they let their feelings of grief actually cause them to never live again. Hey, just because you lose one thing doesn't mean you lose all things. Yeah, it's too heavy. Let me just keep on getting heavier. Because Jesus said, all of you who are heavy laden, come to me and find rest. You see, the key is Jesus. I said, the victory is Jesus. He is the one that is able to take the burden away and bring peace. And so if you're here today and you're struggling right now, and just consider this word from the Lord, you are loved. You are loved by the Lord. And guess what? Another word from the Lord. You have hope. I tell you, I wouldn't give you a plug nickel for a preacher without hope. I mean, you have Jesus and he's over here saying you're not going to make it. Can I tell you, I wouldn't go to that house of God. Find me a new preacher. I wouldn't give you a nickel for a lawyer who had no hope. Hey, I took your case, but you know what? You're really going to the slammer. No matter how much you pay me, you're dead in the water. I mean, we have to present hope to a hopeless world. And the hope is in, most of the time, I've seen people who lose their faith, or this is what happens. I wish I can get a witness in here. This is what happens to a lot of God's people. They think they lose their faith, but what they really lost was their hope. They lost their hope. And so when you lose your hope, Satan knows this. He wants to render God's people hopeless. Because if he can get you to think that you're hopeless, you'll throw in the towel yourself. And you'll destroy your own faith. How many know it's one thing to lose hope. It's another thing to destroy your faith. And that's what he's really after. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Your peace, it's your joy goes first, then your peace, then your love, and then you're saying, nobody loves me, everybody hates me, I think I'm going to eat some worms. I know it seems in this world that it's a quest for a peace of mind, is chaotic world is just not possible, but there is a place in God. I mean, there is a place in God where you can find his peace, where you can be restored to hope. The world's looking in the wrong places. They're looking through substance abuse. But how many know there's no substance? Looking through alcohol, let's drown it out. How many know that leads to other problems? It's not going to work. You'd think we would figure this out. And yet the church dabbles these days with the temptation to taste and to tempt and to be dabbling with alcohol. I mean, you have no business messing around with alcohol. Especially in extreme places, extreme. Oh, well, I can handle it. Oh, yeah. Well, you can handle marijuana and alcohol. You can handle it all. Satan is not happy with a little sip. I remember when I was at Peace Chapel, Bridget said she went to Peace Chapel and she missed that slash church. I said, well, welcome home. Anyway, when I was at Peace Chapel, Brother Blansett was my pastor, and we had a staff meeting, and he was trying to give up on Dr. Pepper. He was addicted to Dr. Pepper. You know, Taylor, there's room at the altar for you, brother. So he was wanting the staff to hold him accountable, and he'd come to staff meeting, and we'd go to staff meeting. He said, man, he said, guys, I blew it. I blew it today. I said, Pastor, what happened? He said, well, I just had one, and then one led to two, and two led to three. Well, it's just like that, isn't it? Satan's not happy with you just having one bad thought. He wants to bombard your mind. He wants to bring heaviness on you where you can't even sleep at night. So now you have insomnia, and now you can't sleep, so you don't have peace, and so you can't function at work. Can I tell you, the peace in you leads to the peace with others. Let me say it like this. Peace with God leads to peace in you. And peace with you leads to peace with others. If Satan destroys your peace with God, how many know it's not going to be any way in the world that you're going to be able to function in the world amongst everybody else, because you're allowing your mind to be mastered by anything and everything else except the Holy Spirit. So the peace we need is in the peace that only can come from God. Amen? So our peace is found in our text. And I just want to claim the text. I will preach and teach the pretext. But I want to look at the context. And if I don't finish today, don't stress out over it. Should the Lord tarry, you might be back next week. So all you OCD that getting scared that I'm not going to finish, just relax. In fact, let's try it right now. Just deep breath, real. Oh, I feel so much better. Isaiah 26, we just read it. But the context is Isaiah is God's prophet called to lead Israel during a very dark season in their history. What happened was Israel rose up economically. They became a mighty military force in the world. How many know Israel today is that? They're there again. How many know God always seems to put Israel, have the ability to land on their feet and rebuild, reestablish, and become prosperous in the mind and heart of God? It's God's plan for Israel. And this season, they were doing well, but like anybody else, when prosperity comes, how many know corruption can come in? And so Isaiah's the prophet of God. During this time, corruption's coming in. Guess what else came in? Shallow spirituality. Shallow spirituality. They started going through the motions religiously instead of the relationship with Yahweh. So it was just shallow, religious. And along came Assyria into power, and Israel was fading. And politicians started arguing, and the people grew anxious. Does that sound like America today? And so God anointed Isaiah to write these powerful words. And I know it's just a couple of verses, but it's so powerful that it may take us another Sunday. And I'm okay with that, are you? I just want to give you the background and the backdrop so that you can get a setting for this. In days of suffering, Israel started singing. I want you to look at verse 1 of chapter 26. In that day, this song will be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city, and God will appoint salvation for walls and bulwarks. Open the gates that the righteous nation, which keeps the truth, may enter in. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever. For in Yah, the Lord is everlasting strength. Oh, my goodness, there's so much packed in there, I don't have time to deal with it, but I'm going to give it a shot. Are you ready? It's actually a song, and in that day, they sang it on the way to the temple, they sang it in the temple, they sang it everywhere they went, as they went to the three seasonal occasions, festivals, they went and they sang it all the way to the festival, all the way home, they sang about the goodness of God. They sang about it. And what it did, it was the song sung in the land of Judah. Judah means praise. So the people who had anxiousness in dark times learned how to turn their worry into worship. Come on, church. Somehow you got to get a hold of your mind. You got to take captives the thoughts that take in your worship. When Job lost everything, you remember that? He lost his children, he lost his cattle, he lost his land, he lost his sheep, he lost his home, he lost it all, except his wife. And she told him to curse God and die. And so the first thing he lost was his livestock. See, Satan had made an arrangement to go to the portals of heaven and see if he can tempt Job, and the Lord said, give it a shot. And the very first thing he took was his livestock. You know why? Because that was his worship. He could no longer, Max, could he offer a sacrifice to the Lord? Because he took all of the livestock. And I tell you, the very first thing that Satan would like to take out of your mind is your ability to praise and sing and give glory to the Lord. That's the very thing that puts God on your mind. You know, anybody ever get a song in your heart? Does the Lord ever put a song in your heart? Yeah, there is a song in my heart today, something I never had. Jesus is taking my sins all away. Oh, say, but I'm glad. It's something that you wake up with. It's something you go to bed with. It's something that's constantly, continually in your mind. And you're driving along in your car, and you put on worship. And who do you think about? You don't think about the worries. You think about the Lord, and all of a sudden, peace comes into the car, and power comes into the car, and tranquility comes into your mind, and you have peace and rest and strength and confidence, and what was taking you and wearing you out and wearing you down has now catapulted you to have confidence in the Lord and to say, my mind belongs to God. Satan, back up and get away. Get thee behind me, Satan, is what Jesus told Satan. Don't you bring these thoughts to me. I don't have to sit here and just drink in all this filth. Say, Pastor, filth is all around us. But how many know you can have a strong, stable mind in a very crooked, unstable world? I believe that because the scripture said God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and love and a strong, disciplined mind. It matters. It matters how you think. And singing is powerful. It's all focused on Jerusalem. The song is focused on Jerusalem. I looked it up. Jeru-Salem. Jeru-Salem. Two meanings. Jeru, some scholars say, is God, right? Jeru. And or some say it means the flow or possession of. The flow or possession of. And Salem is shalom, meaning peace. So Jerusalem is actually the place of peace, the possession of peace, and the one who loves Jerusalem is the Prince of Peace. And he is able to give you power to overtake the minds that is trying to steal your joy and your peace. And so they started singing. Man, you need to get a song in your heart. If you're in a bad place and you can't think, and all you do is constantly, some of you can't even eat because you're constantly worried and worried and worried. And Jesus said himself, take no thought. What he's saying is you have the ability to capture negative thoughts and input powerful thoughts. Thoughts like last week of God's word. So Isaiah, in essence, is looking for a future day when there will be a perfect peace in the city of Jerusalem, the 1,000-year reigns. That's the context. Here's a prophet thousands of years earlier. Are y'all catching any of this? The prophet of God 1,000 years earlier in the Old Testament is teaching us how to master our thought life. And the first thing you have to do is learn how to praise God. Learn how to open your mouth and give him praise. You say, well, I don't feel like it. It doesn't matter how you feel. You got to go past the way you feel. You got to get past the crowds and past all the stuff and past Fox News and past CNN. You got to get past the current affairs of what's happening in America. I'm not concerned about that. I'm concerned about keeping my mind on God. Because Satan's trying to steal my peace. And I know people, they're worried, oh man, I don't know how we're going to, there's a recession. There's so many names for it. Now there's a recession. I can't even keep up the levels of depression. Well, next thing you know, we're going to be in a soup kitchen. Well, thank God for soup. Thank God for soup. You have never been anywhere. I've been in places of the world. They wish they had a bowl of soup. You say, my shoes are tight. My shoes are old. I've been in places of the world. They had no shoes. You got to learn how to have contentment in what you do have instead of complaining all about what you don't have or what you're fearing the risk of losing. It's always a fear of self. It's selfishness, basically. And so the Lord is saying, the one who paid the price of peace is the Prince of Peace. And that's the context. But let me give you the application today because it's powerful. 1,000 years from now, how many know Jesus is going to rule and reign in the millennium? In the millennial kingdom, that's what Isaiah is talking about, and that's what the prophets talked about. And we're here. The kingdom is here, but it's not yet here. So it's here, and I believe we can have peace here on the way to having peace there forever. So at the end, it says, so you can have peace forever, not just here, but Pastor's trying to help you how to master your thought life. And if you're going to have continual praise and continual peace and continual purpose for the plans of God in your life, then you're going to have to stop this negative mindset that's always robbing you of what God is trying to give you. Are anybody getting any of this? Because God has a peace for you that is perfect. And I just want you to hear this. The problems that you face cannot stop God's purpose and plans for you. I don't care if you're in them now or they're on the way or they're old or the past or in the future or whatever you're contemplating, whatever problem that you're conjuring up in your mind. Only 8%, we said when we started the sermon, was possibly legitimate. Maybe half of that. But no need to worry. No need to panic. Heaven is not in a state of panic. Aren't you glad for that? The Lord's not nervous. Can you see Jesus? And the Father's on the throne and Jesus is pacing. Oh, no. Oh, no. Israel's at war again. I mean, that Jesus would be really tired if in heaven he paced every time Israel got in a battle throughout the ages. No, he's the God of Israel. And it's almost like he just says, you know, look at him. Look at him. Look at the nations around Israel trying to take him. Do they not know? Have they not heard? Come on. Don't they know that Jehovah God is still in charge? Don't they see? Didn't they see what I did to the Philistines in the past? I'll do it again. So heaven is not bankrupt. Neither should you be. So my first thought of the day, it's almost time to quit is my first thought. That's okay. We'll come back. I'm having a good time. I don't know about you. The Lord put this in my spirit. And verse 3, powerful promise. It's the promise of peace. So Isaiah is saying to God, you will keep him in perfect peace. Okay, those who live under the rule and authority of Christ, who pursue peace, are promised peace. So it's twofold. I mean, you pursue the Prince of Peace, and the Prince of Peace is promising peace for you if you pursue. In the New Testament, Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you. It's the same thing in the New as you're hearing in the Old. And so it's a thought. Seeking his peace is peace defined. It's not the absence of trouble. It's the presence of God. And what Isaiah was saying, hey, Israel, think about God. Think about all that he did. You think about Psalm 78. That's why I love the psalmist and the Psalms. How powerful. They always recall the Red Sea, the Jordan. They recall the manna. They recall the fire by night, the cloud by day. They recall all the mighty acts and deeds that God did. And the psalmist is saying, that, you know, glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. For he is the creator of heaven and earth. What can man do to you? What are you worried about, he's saying. The God of peace is with you. It's a promise. And so he's saying to God, you will keep him in perfect peace. In other words, you are in God's care, my friend. Your hand is in the hand of God. And as long as you leave your hand in the hand of God, your life will be okay. Yeah, you'll be okay. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're going to be okay. You're going to be okay. Now listen, if you take your hand out of the hand of the Lord, you're on your own. But I came to tell you, the psalmist writes about everywhere. Psalm 85:8, he promises peace to his people. Psalm 29:11, the Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace. Of all the things I would like to have, I would like to have joy. I would like to have a lot more love. But of all the things, when I'm having a bad day, I would like the peace of God to be with me. Not just the God of peace, but the peace of God. Right? Because the God of peace is in my hand. I should have the peace of God in my heart and in my mind. And that's why Proverbs says, hey, guard your heart and mind, for from it are the issues of life. That's where the issues of life are coming from, your heart and your mind. It's flowing from your mind. So what you think about is what you actually end up doing. And if you're having ulcers and your stomach's all messed up and you don't have an appetite and you can't sleep, if your body's convulsing, it possibly, I'm not a psychologist, but it's possible that your mind is twisted. And I believe there's perversion going in the minds of people in America today. Perverted minds. That takes me to Romans 1. They've exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worship the creature instead of the creator. And they don't have a normal, I'm going to go ahead and keep preaching, but y'all understand what I'm saying. God promises, and the word keep, I just want to give the word keep. I'm going to go as far as I can. Chrissy, give them some hope, and y'all come on back up. Give them a little bit of hope. I told them that a person without hope is hopeless. Keep means to guard, protect, or maintain. It's a military term, picturing a guard at the gate. Can I just tell you today as our first message on this mind, on this scripture? The enemy cannot get your mind when your mind is stayed on God. I mean, how simple is that? I'm embarrassed to tell you that it's bringing it down to the lowest bottom, the lowest denomination. If you will think about God, the enemy cannot penetrate your mind because your mind is on the Lord. So keep your mind on the Lord. And the Bible says he will keep you in perfect peace as long as your mind is on the Lord. You seek his peace. I think it's important to know what peace means. It's not the absence of trouble. It's the presence of God. And it's the word shalom, as I told you. 237 times the word shalom is mentioned in the Old Testament. Its meaning is completion and fulfillment. It refers to entering into a state of wholeness and unity, where relationships are made whole and where relationships are restored. See, peace of mind is not just a selfish thing. You really need to have wholeness and completeness and healthy mindset so that you can function in the body of Christ and in the world with a healthy mind. Because James says a double-minded person is unstable in all of their ways. You can't be up and down. That's called schizophrenia. You can't be, oh, I'm perfectly good today. And tomorrow, I can't even function. I can't even go to work because I need a mental health day. Well, don't we all? But you know what you need more than a mental health day? You need a day in the presence of the Lord. I said, you need some time with Jesus. I'm not against a mental health day. I think you all could use one. But first, peace is restored to God. Before you can have peace of God, you must know the God of peace. It's kind of like, shalom is like a greeting. So I went to Hawaii a couple of times with my lady, with Convoy of Hope, and one other time. And when I preached at the church, they'd put a little lay around my neck, and they would say, aloha. And when I would leave, they would say, aloha. I said, well, I'm leaving. I'm not just kidding. They said in the Polynesian language, Hawaiian language, aloha is hello and goodbye, and it's also how are you doing. Same thing with shalom. Same thing with shalom. Hello. And that's why my friend in Brent Johnson, who helps me a lot, is missionary. He's on his way to Israel now. when he calls me, he says, "Hey, Pastor Ron, shalom, shalom." I say, "What, brother, you have a speech impediment? What's going on here?" "Shalom, shalom." What he's saying is, "Peace, peace. Peace, peace." That word, peace, peace, that he's saying right here is shalom, but it's also the condition of the promise. You shall have perfect peace. Shalom, shalom. The word perfect is the same word for peace. So they say, hey, he will keep you and give you perfect peace. Shalom, shalom. For those who put their complete trust in the Lord. For us a child is born, to us a son is given. The government shall be on his shoulders, not yours. You don't have to bear the weight of the world. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace, the High Priest of Salem. Peace with God and peace from God. Perfect peace. Isaiah simply saying, God will keep them in peace, peace. Shalom, shalom. How are you? How is your mind set this morning? Are there anything that you're going through? We'll finish this up another day, but if you'll stand with me this morning, maybe we can just take a little inventory of what we're thinking about. What are you thinking about? Are you looking in the wrong places? Are you trying to find a happy place? Everybody has a happy place. Melissa and I have a happy place. It's down in Florida somewhere. It's a happy place. We go to a happy place and we feel like we're getting away. And she loves to hear the waves. It's kind of finding tranquility on the beach. And it's a happy place. Anybody else have a happy place? McDonald's? The world's looking for happy. I mean, no, shalom is way more than happy. It's deep, deep-seated peace. Some people are looking for peace in people. Putting all your confidence, all your trust in people. That's not what Isaiah said. He said, hey, I will keep you in perfect peace whose mind is stayed not on people, not on pastor, but whose mind is stayed on the Lord. Right? And some are looking for peace through lots of possessions. If I have a lot of money, if I have a lot of stuff, I'll be at peace. I'll be in my happy place. Can I tell you? There are people who have millions and millions of dollars jumping out of the 10th story window. So obviously, that's not it. 2 Thessalonians 3:16. May the God of peace himself give you peace always.